Good morning, church. It's going a bit cold, isn't it? We have to get warmed in the spirit, get deep into worship. We're going to start our service now, but I just want to encourage everyone as we just let's stand. If we are able to stand, if you want to remain seated, that's absolutely fine. But as we're standing and we're starting to get into that time of worship, let me just encourage you today, church, just to connect with the Lord this morning. Whatever's gone on in the past, whatever's happened during the week, or whatever's going to be happening this week, lift it all up to God with thanks. You know, whether it's been a difficult week or whether it's been a great week, let us just now worship God for what he's done in the past and what he's going to be doing for the future as well, because we can rest in him. We can put everything in his hands. We can lift it up to God. But you know, we now have an opportunity to really connect and just spend time with our God as we worship. Great things happen when we worship. Is that true, church?
Amen.
It is. Amen. You know, so as we connect now, let's just let the Spirit of the Lord come over us. Let us just worship. Let us spend time with him. And let us just praise him, for he is good. Our God is good. We serve an amazing God, don't we, church? Come on, church. We're going to sing about his goodness. We're going to worship him. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, church, that's beautiful. Let's sing that again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, and all my life you have been faithful.
Yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing in the goodness of God.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after my life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness.
my life laid down to surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. The goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, God, that we can sing of your goodness, standing here with my brothers and sisters, praising you. God, you are good. You are awesome. And we thank you for your faith. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, God, for your provision. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for everything that you pour out on us, Lord, and for eternity. And we just lift up our voices, our beings, our instruments in praise to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is pre-notice notice. So I'm not on notices, but I haven't hijacked anything. I've just got a notice. If you weren't at the church meeting today, on Thursday, I shared about T, who is here. T, do you want to come here now? Let's do this now. So I shared in relation to T that after a whole year of us working with us and alongside our youth, she just has too much to do in her role as a full-time teacher at Feltham. So with a heavy heart, is it fair to say a heavy heart? With a heavy heart, T has stopped working as our paid youth worker. Now, that does not mean she stopped working with our youth at all. That's fair, isn't it? Good. So effectively, things carry on with T very much being part of our leadership team in relation to the youth. It will be me, Dan, and T. We will be driving forward. So it's just so that everybody's aware, T is not an employee of the Shore Church in relation to youth. So I think I'm going to say, T, you're going to say a few words. I'm going to say a thank you to you first. Because, and in fact, let's show our thanks by a clap to start with. We got some posh flowers. I'm going to put these down here so that you're not holding them while you're. But T, I can't tell you how much you've blessed our youth, and you've blessed us just by seeing so many positive things happening with our youth. So it's just, I can't begin to say how grateful we are. So thank you, thank you.
I just want to start by saying a massive thank you to all of you guys, because throughout the year that I've been employed by the church, the support and the love that you guys have given me is just unbelievable. And it just feels so nice to have a whole church family behind you, cheering you on. So yeah, that's all down to you. Give yourselves a round of applause. And yeah, I mean, the youth are just phenomenal. They are so much fun. If you ever feel down in the dumps, join youth work because they're just so joyful, and it is just an absolute blessing to have spent so much time with them, to have taken them to camp, to have visited random churches with them, to have fun with them on a Friday night. There are just so many great things that I can say about the youth of this church, and you guys have just been such a blessing to me, which is lovely. Like this last year, obviously, like getting into a career in teaching, all of you that have gone through your 20s know, like, it's been full of a lot of fear and imposter syndrome and just so many things. And having this role has just been a real, like, positive point in my life, and a real kind of steadfast thing that, has just been a real blessing to me. So, thank you all so much.
Right, we're just going to... Yeah. T, if you're okay, we'd like to pray with you. Does anyone want to join in... So, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that T's been to our youth and to our church as a whole. We thank you for everything you're doing in her and in her life. And Lord, we really pray as she looks ahead to her future, we just pray that she continues to look to you and you continue to bless those extraordinary talents you've given her. Lord, we just pray that you just enable her to use all she has, which is so much. Lord, thank you for tea. Amen.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just lift tea up to you this morning, and we give you our thanks for the time that she's been here, and she's just sowed so much into the youth. I just thank you for her spring in her step, and just the way she's just brought your love in such a special way to the youth, and the way she's communicated that. And so we just lift her up this morning, and thank you that she's still with us, and she's still involved, and we just pray a real special blessing on her, and the time that she gives over to the youth and everything else in this church. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, I'm Julie, and I am the bringer of the community messages. But I just want to say, you know, tea is wonderful, and just as we were reflecting at leaders, it struck me that one of the reasons she's leaving is because she's done so well in her job that it's now become something that she can't sustain. So isn't that a legacy to leave? If we look at the number of youth that we had 12 months ago and the number that we've got now, what an amazing testimony and a legacy that someone has in this church. So, thank you. So, messages. Most of you, hopefully, will have received the email. So, I'm not going to repeat everything that's on the email. If you don't receive the weekly email and you'd like to know what's going on, then please speak to Carla and she will add you to the list. So, just a couple of things that I want to highlight. If you've ordered a book from Joe Parnell, or you would still like the book from Joe Parnell, then they're going to be available in the coffee bar. So if you've pre-ordered one, you can pay for it and pick it up. If you haven't pre-ordered one but you'd like one, you can pay for it and pick it up. Just Christmas isn't that far away. I think it's only 4 weeks away, isn't it? So just as a few things that are going on at Christmas, we've got a procession through the town. And it would be really great if as many people as possible could join in that. If you don't want to dress up, you don't have to. But if you want to come and support people at the end, around where the band is and everything, you can do that. But it would just be really great to have as many people there as possible. And just as I know we're all creatures of habit, we need to get it into our pattern of thinking that on Christmas Eve, we're not going to have a 10:30 service on Sunday. We're going to have a 4 o'clock one. So if you come at 10:30, you'll be cold. So just get that into your heads that our service on Christmas Eve will be at 4 o'clock and not 10:30. A couple of things that weren't on the notices. A couple of decisions that we made at our church meeting on Thursday, which was really positive. It was a, you know, as church meetings go, I think our church does pretty well on church meetings. So, you know, if you don't come and be part of the church meeting, it's actually quite a good thing to come and be part of. So if you've been missing out all these years, you know, do think about coming along to the one that we'll be having in the new year. So we made an agreement that we will be employing a children's worker. So please pray for that process. Pray that we get the right person, that we advertise in the right place, that the job description gets put together, because we see that as a real key role as our outreach into the community. So part of their role will be in the church and part of it will be reaching out into the community. So do please pray for that as it happens. Just want to stress as well that that is in no way correlated to tea leaving. They are two very separate roles. One decision has not informed the other, and we are also looking at whether we now employ someone to replace tea as well. And the other thing that we did on Thursday was that we welcomed Elisa back onto the leadership. So welcome, Elisa. So we're going to pray for Elisa, if you want to come up, Elisa. And while it'd be great if a few people could come and gather around her and pray for her, and while we're doing that, we'll just take the offering as well. So if a couple of people could take the offering baskets around, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, just while the baskets come round, let's pray for Elisa. Lord, we thank you for Elisa, this amazing woman of God. Thank you for the huge blessing she has been on our lives, my life personally, Lord, and as we share this life together corporately, Lord. We bless her, we welcome her. We thank you that she is now just stepping into the role that she already plays here, Lord, with authority and anointing. Lord, we thank you that she sees that she has that strong conviction of the way forward, Lord. Thank you that she is a wise guide, Lord, and a faithful servant and friend. Lord, thank you that she is a minister of healing in so many different ways, Lord. And thank you that she is a creative spark, an inspiration, Lord, someone who lifts our heads up and our eyes up even more to imagine what might be possible. So surround her, Lord, protect her, bless her and her family, Lord. And we thank you for her, and we pray for an ever-increasing abundance of this new season. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome Elisa into... back into leadership. She thought she'd got away, but no chance. Remember that, T? There's no escape. It's like Hotel California. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. Okay, that's a bit dark. Sorry, we'll move on. I'll just hand over to Dave, shall I? Do you want to... kids... Who's doing kids' work today? Do you want to do one more song?
Yeah, lovely. Okay. Church, again, if you're able to, do please stand with me and let's worship the Lord. But you can remain seated, that's absolutely fine. It's a relatively new song to us. It's a beautiful melody, beautiful words, very simple. Let's just lift it up to the Lord this morning. Who else will rise, cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine?
God's creation longs to have the words to sing. But this joy is mine.
Let's sing that again, church.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing. But this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means our rights? There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done. But I have eternity to try. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs, a thousand more. Praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King of heaven.
We will
will sing for
Let's sing that again, that's beautiful, church.
Praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King of heaven. Praise, for he rose, now he reigns. We will sing forever.
With a thousand.
With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your
Lift it up,
name.
Church.
You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand.
Say it again. With a thousand.
With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
Lord, this song is forever yours. We praise and we worship you, Lord, now and for eternity. Hallelujah. Whilst we're worshiping, and whilst we're in this time of worship, church, just spend some time with the Lord. Lift up anything which is in your hearts to the Lord this morning. Rest in him. Speak to him. Turn to him. If you don't know the Lord, just let me encourage you just to turn your face to him and lift up your concerns to him. Trust in him. Have faith in him. For he can do all things. Nothing is bigger than him. Sorry, I'm going to let the kids out, okay? We just pray a blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. His deep cries are too deep. We sing. Of his mercy.
Blessing and honor, strength and
Today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you give us the ears to hear, the hearts to receive, Lord. Open up our hearts to, Lord, to let us know what it is that you want us to do, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, individually and collectively. And I pray, Jesus, that, yes, these words just penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord, and just your words, Lord, remain with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to call you Father. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to be in this house, the house of prayer today together. We thank you that, Lord, you are more keen to speak to us than we are to listen. And we pray that, Lord, the words that I speak may be led by your Spirit, that they may be guided. And we pray that, Lord, the thoughts that you give us may not just be thoughts, but that we may be doers of the word as well. Speak to us, Lord. We have a hunger to grow into the things of God. We have a hunger, Lord, to be more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to know that you are present with us and lead us by your Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Bridget to come up and do a couple of readings for us, please.
Good morning. The first reading is from Genesis 37, 22 to 27. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing. They took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh. And they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? "Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. The next one is from Genesis 50, verse 20. Just find it. 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives."
Thank you, Bridget. Bless you.
Shall I sit down now?
Yes, please. Yes.
There's more to come.
They're clapping because you're sitting down. That's what it is. Hey, bless you. It's good to be here again and to share with you. Thank you, Jamie, for giving me the opportunity to share with you. I've been praying about this message, and I just pray that the Lord will lead us by his Spirit. It is said that life begins at 21, problems begin at 41, and reality drops in at 81. And I can say amen to that. But I think a better definition is that life begins at conception, problems begin at birth, and reality drops in when the kids reach 13 and they come into teenage years. And I say that because the passage that Bridget read to us just now is about a dysfunctional family. There is Jacob, and he didn't have an easy time himself, but there was Jacob, 12 sons and a daughter and 4 wives living in a tent. I mean, can you imagine that? Living in a tent. I mean, they were going to have problems, and they did. And Jacob didn't help the problem. Jacob outwardly favored Joseph, and Joseph could do no wrong. Joseph was the blue-eyed boy, and the other kids didn't like it. And Jacob was not wise in the way that he brought up his children. There in front of the others, he gave him I noticed somebody was wearing a lovely colored coat at the back there today. He gave him a beautiful coat, a coat of many colors, and that didn't help the situation. And then Joseph, a teenager, wasn't wise enough to keep his own wisdom to himself. He had a dream, and he dreamt that the other brothers, that they bowed down to him, and he shared it with him, and they hated him for it. And that, beloved, was the beginning of problems for Joseph. He was setting himself up for a downfall. Well, a day came when Jacob sent his sons, all except for Joseph, out to look after the sheep. And whilst they were looking after the sheep, a couple of days later, Jacob sent Joseph off to check up on them. The other brothers didn't like that. And when they saw him coming, beloved, they planned to kill him. That's how bad the family situation had got. They planned to kill him and get rid of him. And he was only saved by Jacob. Reuben, his eldest brother. And Reuben persuaded them to sell him into slavery and get rid of him that way, solve the problem. Well, the story goes on, beloved, that he was sold into slavery, and he was sold in Egypt, and he went to the house of Potiphar. Here was this boy, a teenager, gone from being the top pin, number one in the family, to being the bottom of a household as a slave. And he must have cried out, "God, why are you allowing this to happen? Don't you love me, God? Why?" He was before Romans 8, verse 28. But if he had known Romans 8, 28, he would have said, "Where is that promise that all things work for good for those that trust you? Here I am. What have I done wrong? Why is it all going wrong for me?" And he worked his way up in the house of Potiphar. And then when he got to the top of the pile, he had problems with Potiphar's wife. She started making eyes at him, and she wouldn't let him go. And in the end, because he refused to take part in her seduction, he was thrown into prison. And again, beloved, he must have called out, God, what have I done wrong? Why am I going through this? Where is your love? Why am I going through this? He was in prison for a few more years, and Pharaoh, one day, threw his cupbearer and his baker into prison. They had displeased him. And they had a dream, and Joseph interpreted that dream correctly. One was hung, the other one was restored back to Pharaoh. And Joseph said to him, when you go back to Pharaoh, please remember me. But of course he didn't. And Joseph stayed in prison another year, another year, another year. God, where are you in this situation? Why are you not helping me? What have I done wrong? And he called out to God in this way. And then you remember how the story went on. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was taken out of prison and gave him the answer to this dream and was made the leader, the prime minister, if you like, of the country. And then we come to that second verse that Bridget read to us just now. The brothers came down from where they were living to get food. Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. And he said, God meant this to be for your good. There was a great, and this is the thing that strikes me about this story, the great contrast between the brothers and Joseph. The brothers were exactly the same as they were many years before. They hadn't changed, but Joseph had. What changed Joseph? And the answer, beloved, is crisis after crisis after crisis. Joseph learned to trust God. Joseph learned that in his weakness, he could know the strength of God. That regardless of what he was going through, and it wasn't fair, and why, God, are you allowing this to happen? Joseph learned that God knew best and that he could trust God. And you know, beloved, the devil allows us to go through crisis after crisis after crisis. And we can despair, we can give up, we can say, what's the point? Where is God in all this? But Joseph teaches us that God brings us through these things, that God strengthens us through these things, that God deepens our faith in these things. There's a verse in, well, there are several verses in Isaiah chapter 42, which says, when you go through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you go through the fire, you will not be burnt. And what that is saying, beloved, is not if you go through these things. It's saying when you go through these things. When you go through a crisis, I will be with you. I'm going to ask Bridget just to come and share four more verses. And this time it's a test on you. I want you to see if you can see the connection between these four verses that she's going to read to us.
Hello again. The first verse is from Psalm 37, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the next one is 1 Corinthians, verse 3.
1 Corinthians 3, verse 6.
Yeah, sorry. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. The third one is from Genesis 45, verse 8. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. And the fourth one is 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. David stayed in the desert wilderness and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands.
Thank you. Here's another clue for you. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. But God showed his love towards us that whilst we were yet sinners, God gave
Christ for us, that Christ died for us. And thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
And another one, that Christ died on the cross, but God raised him up on the third day. You know what the connection is, don't you? What is it? But God, that's right, but God. But God. And I want to ask the question, well, when we go through these situations, how do we cope? And the answer is, but God. And there are many times in the Bible where these two words, but God, are put together. There's a difficult situation, an impossible situation, but God steps in. I think of Moses coming to the river, the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, rather, the Red Sea. And there was the sea in front of him and the army of Pharaoh behind him. What was he to do? God stepped in, but God parted the waters. I think of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, but God closed the mouth of the lion. I think in the New Testament of Lazarus being in the tomb for 4 days, but God in the form of Jesus raised him up again. I think of the disciples in Mark chapter 4, hardened fishermen in the middle of a Sea of Galilee in a storm, afraid. Wake up, do you not, are you not a concern? Do you not care that we are perishing? And it took a crisis for the disciples to see the deeper understanding of Jesus. They saw through the crisis, well, who is this man that even the winds and the sea obey him? And God uses a crisis to help us to understand the things that we are going through, that as we go through them with God. And you know, beloved, if we have to go through a crisis, and we do have to go through crisis, it is better to go through the crisis with God than without him. I often wonder how it's possible for the world, as they go through crisis after crisis, how do they manage? How do they manage without God? But a crisis for me drives me closer and closer and closer to him. We all have to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, we just sang just now with David, come Lord Jesus. But if the Lord doesn't come back before, we all have to die. I'm blessed to know that when I die, I go through it with Jesus. Psalm 23 says, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say when we stop. It says when we go, I will be with you. And you know, we are so blessed. We are blessed to have a crisis. Because the crisis brings us closer to God. The devil says, you can't. God says, you can. The devil says, defeat. God says, victory. The devil says, stop. God says, go. The devil says, condemnation. God says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I want to ask you this question, and I'm going to come back to it again. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? Don't give up. So often we give up before the end. We pray for somebody's conversion. We pray for a month or 2 months or 3 months, and then we stop. Or we pray for this or for that, or we believe this or we do this, and we give up too soon. And God will say to us, don't give up, keep going. It's a bit like, I know Robert, you're at the back there somewhere, aren't you? Poor old Robert. Poor old Robert, not because he's in a wheelchair. Poor old Robert, he's an Arsenal fan. I mean, there are not many of them around, are there? But poor Robert, he's an Arsenal fan. Now, supposing there was a football match and Robert was there. Pagham playing Arsenal, right? And Pagham is winning 1-0. That's not surprising, is it? And he watches this match, and in the end he despairs and he gives up and he goes out from the football field. And as he goes out the door, he hears a roar. Somebody scored a goal. And then he hears another roar. Somebody scored a goal. And he finds out afterwards that actually Arsenal won a match. They beat Pagham 2-1. But he missed it. He missed it because he didn't stay to the end. And beloved, that is so true of ourselves as well, that we can pray for something, we can expect, but we give up. And we don't see the end of it. I want to share with you a couple of "but God" instances. First of all, a testimony from myself. When I lived in Guernsey many years ago, one of the things that I used to do was, we had an oil drum, and I used to throw all the rubbish in the garden. I used to throw all the rubbish into the oil drum, pour petrol over the top of it, light a match, throw it on, and boom, it would go up. And I did that once. I filled it up with all the rubbish, poured the petrol on, threw the match, and nothing happened. And I wrongly assumed that the match had gone out. In fact, the match had landed on a dry part of the rubbish. So I went over, poured some more petrol. I poured it on top of the flame, and the flame blew up. The can in my hand blew up, and I burnt from my waist upwards. I was a flaming. I was burning. I was absolutely burning. I ran into the house. We had in those days an old twin tub washing machine. I jumped into the head first into the washing machine, and then Joyce threw a blanket over the top of me and put the fire out, and then I went into shock. And she called a neighbor and took me to the local Guernsey hospital. And when they saw me, they said, we're going to have to prepare you to fly by helicopter to Southampton. Your burns are very bad. And they dressed me up and they put all these bandages on. The church prayed. And the next morning when they came to take the bandages off, the doctor said, I never believed in miracles, but now I believe in a miracle. They took off the bandages. I had a brand new skin. A brand new skin. I had no pain, and the following week I was asked to speak on Radio Guernsey, and through the testimony of that, a number of people came to know the Lord because of that. I know that God heals. I know that God heals. Having said that, I stand in front of you and a walking disaster. I've had cancer. I've lost a kidney. I've lost half my bowel. I've had Lyme disease, and I've lost my sight. You're all a blur to me. I have only 20% sight. So where is God in all that? Where is God? I know that God heals. I've experienced it. But where is God in my present situation? Let me share with you. I'm going to share a little bit more about it in a minute, but we were recently in Bhutan, and one of the questions that I was asked every day was, how do you stay so positive? How are you laughing it off? How are you so strong? And I was able to share with them about my faith through this crisis. I was able to share with them that when I was 21, I first went out to India, and everything was, I thought India meant Taj Mahal, Bollywood, and Raj Kaput or something else like that. I had no idea about the poverty of India. And I remember driving from Calcutta Airport to Calcutta and seeing the poverty, seeing the beggars on the road, and seeing particularly maimed children. And I couldn't cope with it. It was too much for me. And I really wanted to get on a plane and fly back home. I couldn't cope with it. And I heard a voice say to me, and it changed the whole direction of my life. I heard a voice say to me, that whatever condition you find yourself in, you are always going to be better off than two-thirds of the world. And that changed my whole outlook. And I share that with you, beloved, because it's true of you as well. You are going through a crisis. Maybe some of you are going through a relational crisis. Maybe you're going through a crisis because of health. Maybe it's money. You might even be homeless. It can be a crisis that overwhelms you. But I want to tell you this, beloved, that whatever condition you find yourself in, you are still better off than two-thirds of the world. And it's time to start thanking God for the blessings that we have. We are blessed. We have a church. There are many countries in the world where you can't gather like this. We have the freedom to be able to worship. We have supermarkets, a variety of supermarkets. We have this, we have that. We have a land of peace, a relative peace in comparison to other countries. It's time that we started counting our blessings. And that's the way to face it. God can change our situation. But if he doesn't change our situation, we can trust him. We can trust him. Like Job, we can say, yea, though he slay me, yet will I still trust him. Joyce and I recently met a missionary family that were going off to a Muslim country. I won't say which country. Going off to a Muslim country where to be a Christian meant certain death. To be a missionary meant certain death. And they, as a family, have gone to this particular Muslim country to be missionaries. And I asked them the question, how can you be so certain? How can you be so assured that God wants you in such a dangerous place with your two children as well? And he said to me that he went over to that country some time ago, some months ago, and he went to meet a secret Christian in the country. And the secret Christian lent him his car and told him how to go and meet a group of secret underground Christians. He got in the car, got onto the motorway, and got totally lost. He had no idea where he was. And he called out to the Lord in the car, Lord, where do I go? How do I get there? And he heard a voice saying to him, follow the car in front. But Lord, there are six cars in front. Which car? Follow the red car. So he followed this red car. It followed, went along the motorway, came off the motorway, and he was still not sure whether this was God or not. He followed this red car. The car parked. The woman got out of the car, and she went to a house, knocked on the door, and went inside. And he sat there praying and saying, have I heard right? I'm in a dangerous situation here. Anyway, he got out of the car, went over to the door, knocked on the door. The woman opened the door and said, ah, come in, we're expecting you. That's a but God situation. That's a but God situation. And he said to me, I know we're going into danger, but God has shown us that that's the right place for us to go. I mentioned Bhutan. I just share with you a little bit about Bhutan. I went there, first of all, 60 years ago to start a school, an English medium school. And we've been back a number of times during that period. When I first went to Bhutan, Christianity was not allowed. It was banned. And I was told that I mustn't talk or teach anything about my Christian faith. They knew that I was a Christian. There were no Bibles there at that time as well. Well, when you teach English and English literature, Christianity comes into it a lot. And so I was able to share a little bit about that. I had Good News Bibles, and I kept those on my table in my sitting room. And I told the children, I'm not allowed to give you these Bibles, but if I'm not in the house and somebody comes into the house and pinches one, I'm not to know. I share that with you because we went back just last month, and I met one of the boys who pinched one of my Good News Bibles, and he's now a Christian. So, you know, you plant a seed and 60 years later that seed comes out. And Christianity is now allowed in Bhutan, but it needs much prayer. The churches are divided. They don't trust one another. If you don't belong to my church, you're not saved, sort of thing. And so Christianity is there, and Bibles are there, and Bhutanese Bibles are there, but it needs much prayer. One of my students is the fourth king of Bhutan. I taught him, and I'm a bit like a dad to him. He sort of loves me and cares for me. And we went to see him when we first arrived, and we got talking about the world situation, the wars going on, the famines and everything else. And we were talking about this. His wife, the queen, was there as well. And I said to him, my eyes have failed me. I can't see now. And I want to give you the most precious book that I have because I can't read it myself. And I gave him my Bible And he was willing to take that. And then I said to him, let's look for Matthew chapter 24. So he turned to Matthew chapter 24. And because I can't read, I said, you read it for me. And he read Matthew chapter 24 and he said, this is absolutely amazing. What we've been talking about, the famines, the wars and so on, they're there. They're happening. And I said, yes, this is something that was written, a prophecy written 2,000 years ago. And I said, there's so much more in the Bible. He said, I'm going to read it. So a country where Christianity was banned, the fourth king of Bhutan is now reading the Bible. And I said to him, I do pray for you every day. And he said, I know you do. Please keep on praying for me. Share a couple of other stories. I'm not going to go on too long because you'll all walk out on me. But we met a fellow, and he told the story of how when he was a little boy, he was about 4 years old, his parents put him into a monastery to become a lama. And he grew up in this monastery, and when he was a teenager, he realized how empty everything was. It was gongs and bangs and smoke and this and that and everything else. But he said it was empty. And one day in the monastery, a figure stood in front of him. And he said, I am Jesus and I want you to be my disciple. Now, he had no idea who Jesus was. This is a Buddhist country we're talking about. But this figure stood in front of him and said, I am Jesus, and I want you to be my disciple. That resulted in him running away from the monastery. He ran off to India and found out who Jesus was, got baptized, and is now a pastor in Bhutan. Praise God, he's a pastor in Bhutan from Jesus appearing. And one more story, and this is really Joyce's story. When we were in Bhutan, Joyce was working in the leprosy mission. And a little boy, about 10 years old, was brought into her. He had leprosy in his legs. And he had been dumped in the forest to die. The parents, the families were afraid of leprosy. They put him in the forest and they left him there to be eaten by animals. An elderly lady who also had leprosy, she found him and she brought him, beloved, into the hospital. Geylong was his name. He was treated. He had two big holes in his legs full of maggots. Joyce cleaned them out, and then he had both his legs amputated because of this leprosy. We went back a month ago to see him, first time in 50 years. He is now the pastor of that hospital. He gave his life to the Lord. I share this with you, beloved, because it sometimes takes a crisis to make us come to our senses. That's in Ecclesiastes 22, I think. God uses a crisis to bring us to himself. And, you know, God knows what he's doing. Nothing takes God by surprise. In our present news at the moment, we're looking at the terrible things going on in Israel and Palestine. God is not surprised by that. Hamas is supported by Turkey, Russia, and Iran. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 38, you'll find that these three make an alliance in the last days against Israel. God is not surprised by the things that are going on. If you look in Revelation chapter 9, I think it is, it talks about a road being built between the Far East and Europe, the Silk Road, Marco Polo Road, completed last year. Last week, China supported the Palestinians supported Hamas against Israel. Revelation chapter 9 talks about a vast army of 200,000 marching from the east to the west to attack Israel. Hasn't happened yet, but it's all set there. God is not surprised by what is going on. And we need, beloved, to trust him. We need to trust him more than we do. And so I come back to that question again. Whose voice are you listening to? As we go through our crisis, as we go through whatever we're going through, whose voice are you listening to? I read of a recent survey that was made in America of churchgoers. They asked 2,000 churchgoers about their own personal walk. They found that churchgoers were just as dishonest as non-churchgoers. They found that churchgoers gossiped just as much as non-churchgoers. They found that in relationships, churchgoers were just as bad as non-churchgoers. That's not right, beloved. That's not right. God wants us to live differently. He doesn't want us just to come to church on a Sunday and then go out and live like the heathen. He wants us to be different. I'm reminded of that church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 that was neither hot nor cold. And again, I come back, beloved, to ourselves. Are you hot for God or are you cold for God? Are you overflowing for God? God is in control. He knows what's going on in the world. He knows his time. He's at the door. He's at the door. Are you ready? Whose voice are you listening to? Will you go out this week and live for God? Whatever your situation, whatever overwhelms you at the moment, but God. God is able to change it. And if not, I will still trust him. Along with Job, yea, though he slay me, yet I will still trust him. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. There's a verse in the Bible which says, it's from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Lord, we want to trust you more than we do. We confess, Lord, that we are believers, that we want to be more like you. But Lord, we confess that we use so much worldly wisdom. We use so much that is not of yourself, Lord. But Lord, you have shown us this morning that you are able to change situations, that you're able to change our situation, that you're able to use our situation as a testimony to others, that others may know the reality of God. And Lord, we thank you that we live in such a time as this. We thank you that you have called us to be light and salt. And Lord, we pray that in whatever situation we find ourselves in, that we may be true witnesses for you. Lord, we want to be on fire for Jesus, Lord. We want to be 100% for you, even as you are 100% for us. So, Lord, we rededicate our lives to you for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Stuart, that's a great message. Thank you very much indeed for that. That was amazing. We'll continue now, church. So if you're able to, do please again stand with me. You can remain seated. That's absolutely fine. We're going to end our service now as a declaration. Whose voice are we listening to? We listen to God's voice. Listen to the enemy's voice. No, we listen to God because we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's sing about that church now as we're just going to lift up our voices and let's just make this our declaration today.
In our time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe.
Oh, church.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered hell. We believe in His resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. Let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe. We believe.
We believe.
And He's coming back again. We believe.
Let the lost
be found, and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe,
we believe.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail, for the power of God has turned the veil. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered hell. We believe in His resurrection, and He's coming back again.
We believe. We
believe in you, God. We believe in our Father, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We believe. And this is our prayer to you today, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the worship, Lord, because there is none greater or bigger than you, Lord. Lord, we look to you at all times, for the good times, for the bad times, Lord. Lord, we thank you for you are always with us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're continually blessing and loving and providing for us, Lord. So, Lord, we just look to you, Lord, and we give you thanks in all situations, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, we also pray a blessing upon us now, Lord, as we go about our weeks. We just thank you, God, for all that you're doing, Lord. And yes, you, Lord, you are King, you are our Master and our Redeemer. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.